Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into the Garden Hotline. Good morning. I'm Scott Jagow. Glad to be here. And today we have Erin Goss, who's been on the show before, but she is in a different role now. Remember, she used to be with Shaw Nature Reserve? Well, now she has joined Michelle Reeser-West at Pointer Landscaping. I'm going to ask you about that in a second, but I want to give the phone number out so we can get the phone calls going to answer your questions. 314-436-7900. Again, it's 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. So, Erin, how exciting, a new role.
Yes, new role. Very excited to be working with Michelle Reeser-West again, and it is different, but I look forward to be working with a lot of different types of clients and also a lot of different types of plants.
What will you be doing exactly?
So I am a maintenance accounts manager, which means that I work with clients to both steward and also enhance their gardens, their existing gardens.
And how does that jibe with what you did at Shaw Nature Reserve?
So it's a little different in that I'll be working more with private clients, so residential clients. Before, when I was designing and working with developing maintenance plans and that sort of thing and working with the nature reserve, I really worked more with the public. So working more in public areas, schools, municipalities, and churches, nonprofits, that sort of thing. So it's just it's a similar, some of the work is similar, but the client base is different. And I will be doing less like outreach and education and more just client-focused work.
Well, I've heard some stories. So one question I've have is, how are you and Michelle going to stay out of trouble working together again?
I do not know.
Maybe we can tell one of those stories later on. All right, well, let's get to the phones. 314-436-7900. Jim, good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. I have a problem with Bermuda grass. Is there a home remedy that I can use to get rid of it?
Bermuda grass is so tricky. It doesn't respond very well to Roundup. If you do use something like Roundup or an over-the-counter, not over-the-counter, but easily accessible herbicide, you usually have to just spray and spray and spray some more. So a lot of times with Bermuda grass, if you can time it right when it's starting to be actively growing, so like May, June, that's a good time because it's starting to actively grow. So you can try an herbicide application, but a lot of times you really have to spray and spray multiple applications. You could also try to dig it out. That's actually one of the most effective, but methods, but you do have to go fairly deep into the soil profile, like 3 inches, in order to get those roots out. Some people find that solarization works really well. So if you have an area that you can either remove the plant material you want to keep, or you don't have anything there but Bermuda grass, sometimes you can solarize. If you're working with Bermuda, if you have Bermuda grass in your turf and you have a turf company, in that case, I would talk to your turf company and see if they have a remedy in order to protect the, you know, if you have Kentucky bluegrass or whatever turf you want to protect.
All right. I know pulling the crawlers across the top of the grass don't help, but hey, thank you for your time and thank you for your service. Have a good day.
You too.
Thanks for calling in, Jim. 314-436-7900 is the garden hotline. Let's go next to Robin. Good morning, Robin.
Hi, good morning. I think I know the answer to the question, but I'm hoping you're going to tell me I'm wrong. So I have 4 green giant arborvitaes in the far back part of my yard. One of them a couple weeks ago, about three, four weeks ago, had a couple rust-colored branches. I took those off. I was back there about a week later, spotted one, didn't take it off, and now about a week and a half later, the whole thing, and it's been there about 8 years, is goldy, yellowy, craggly looking. I think something's killed it. I don't think it can come back. I've got my chainsaw ready to go, but I thought maybe you guys would tell me I'm wrong and I can do something magical and save it.
You know, in the words of Michelle Reaser West, you probably do need to take a chainsaw to it. Unfortunately, okay. they sometimes green giants, they just kind of poop out on their, like, it doesn't even, there's no rhyme or reason. They just say, oh, it's time to go. I will say, however, though, that we have seen a lot of fungal activity this year due to all of that rain that we had in the spring and now these humid conditions. So we are seeing more of the fruiting bodies and more evidence of fungus. And so if that green giant wasn't so far gone, like you didn't have so much of that rust color going on, then I would say try to figure out if you've got something fungal and there are methods that you can treat. But if you can treat the fungus, but if it's that far gone, you probably are going to have to just remove it and start over. I'm sorry.
Do I need to do any, I mean, my other trees look okay, but I have several other green giant arborvitaes. Yeah. Do I need to have an arborist come look at them? Do I need to just keep an eye on them? If something happens, what do I do so I don't lose everybody?
Yeah. Keep an eye on them. One thing you can do is if you go out and look at the needles, a lot of times if the fungus is active, you'll see little fruiting bodies on the underside of the needles. So you can monitor that green giant yourself. But if you have a long line and they're, you know, 8 years old, they're fairly mature and large, it might be a good idea to have a professional out, especially if you've got irrigation. Sometimes irrigation can affect the growth and health of green giants.
No, they're back there on their own.
Okay.
Okay, I'll get my chainsaw going. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling in, Robin. We appreciate it. And we are going to continue with your phone calls at 314-436-7900. If you're already on the line, hang on, we'll get to you next. Aaron Goss from Pointer Landscaping now, formerly Shaw Nature Reserve, is here to answer your questions on the Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM KMOX. It's the Garden Hotline on a beautiful but really hot Saturday morning. It's going to be a hot afternoon. It's actually very humid already. Aaron Goss is here to answer your questions. She was with the Shaw Nature Reserve. Now she has a new role at Pointer Landscaping alongside Michelle Reaser West. So it's good to have her back answering your questions at 314-436-7900. And Lou is up next. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning, all. What a year for flowers. But I have a problem with flowers that are on my patio and in the front, especially those that are in pots. It seems like if I water them at night, water them in the morning, they just wilt. Is there a good time to help those plants out or a good time to water them?
Yes, the best time to water most any plant is going to be in the morning. So if you can do it fairly early in the morning, but the reason is that allows time for the water droplets to dissipate from the leaves. And so that decreases the chances of any kind of fungal infection. It also sets the plant up for the heat of the day. So if you can water as early in the morning as possible, that should help. One thing sometimes we see with especially container plants when it is really hot and if you're actively watering is sometimes you can accidentally overwater. And so then the symptoms of overwatering are a lot like those that have been underwatered. So naturally when it's really hot and humid, most plants in the heat of the afternoon will flag a little bit, meaning they'll kind of droop. And that's just a response to that heat and humidity. So if you see them kind of drooping a little bit, don't freak out. You can check the soil moisture by sticking your finger in about halfway into the soil and check the moisture level of that soil. If you feel that there's still moisture in that soil, don't water them. But again, the best time is to water in the morning as early as possible.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's a good tip. Obviously, the morning hours issue, as you just explained it, but then also sticking your finger in the soil because you can't necessarily see whether it's moist or not, right?
Right.
And eyeballing it is. You don't want to overwater
it. Exactly. Eyeballing it is tough. And a lot of us will eyeball anyway because I think it's a natural tendency.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can stick your finger in, that'll give you a much better idea on whether or not you need to water.
Okay. Doug, you're up next with Aaron on the Garden Hotline.
Yes, I've got an unusual situation. I'm not wanting things to grow. I have a lot of tree saplings and shrubs coming up where I don't want them.
All right.
I used to have a product that when you cut something down, you soaked it with this stuff here. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering what I can do to make sure that these plants don't come back.
Yeah, so what you described is probably kind of what you need. An easy way to deal with especially tree saplings that you don't want is you can cut them off at the soil level or just a little bit above the soil level. And then there are little daubers that you can buy. They almost look like a bingo dauber. And the container is filled with an herbicide like Tordon or some sort of Roundup glyphosate kind of thing. And then you daub it on the end, the cut end of that sapling, and that then goes down into the roots and kills the sapling. So if you have pre-existing saplings that you want to kill, that's one of the best methods. Another method you can use is put down a pre-emergent, and those exist as liquid or as granular forms, and that forms a barrier on the soil so that it doesn't allow any more seedlings to pop up.
Okay, so I could just cut them down mm-hmm. to ground level and coat them with Roundup or a general herbicide.
Yes, although there is a specific type of herbicide, you need to go for the ones that are called a brush killer. You don't want one that's going to be sprayed. You want something that has a sticky substance in it, like a surfactant, something that's going to stick to the cut and stay there and then dry. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me now that I think about it. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Thanks for the call, Doug. 314-436-7900 is the Garden Hotline to answer or ask your question of Aaron Goss from Pointer Landscaping. Judy, you're up next. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning. I'm wondering about, is it too late to trim back the new growth on boxwoods?
No. However, there is a caveat there. If you have a lot of new growth, like you've had massive amounts of growth, then you might want to wait until it cools down a little bit or make sure to do it like early in the morning. Anytime you prune, that stimulates new growth. And so when it's really, really hot, that new growth can, that stimulation and new growth can kind of stress the plant out a little bit. And sometimes you can have that new growth flag or die back. So if you just have a few little sprigs, we call them wild hairs, but you know, just like the boxwood is kind of pushing out a little bit of growth here and there that's unsightly or not what you're looking for, you can go ahead and clip those back. But if you're wanting to do like a full shaping, that I would be very careful with right now. If you can hold back until, say, like September, early September, when it's a little cooler, that's when I would go ahead and do it.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Good question. We appreciate you calling in. It is at your service, this program. And up next, we're going to go to Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Hi, I've got two questions. One is this a good time to plug zoysia? And the second is, I'm going to plant some yuccas for some ground retention. Any particular points on that? Should I hang up and listen? And
so, Jim, as far as the zoysia goes, zoysia, I'm not super strong in my turf knowledge. I do know, though, that zoysia is a warm season grass, so it actively grows in the summertime and when it's warm outside. So I would assume that plugging zoysia would work. However, it is really hot, and planting plants in when it's really hot means that you got to make sure you're on top of watering. So just if you are going to plug it, make sure you have your watering schedule ready to go and you adhere to that watering schedule. As far as the yucca, the advice that I will give you is make sure you are 100% certain as to the location of where you want that yucca. Once that yucca is planted in the ground, it's extremely, and it adjusts to that new location, they are extremely difficult to get rid of. You can burn them, you can try to burn them, you can try to herbicide them, you can try to dig them, but in most cases, they'll come back. So just make sure that you know for certain that that yucca is going in that location and you don't want to move it again years down the road. But otherwise, yuccas are pretty hardy, and it's actually pretty hard to kill them.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Up next, we go to Pat. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. I've got plenty of tomatoes on my vines, a couple of different varieties,
nice.
But they're not ripening. And I'm reading all kinds of things. What are the best things to do to get those pieces of fruit to ripen?
I do not know a definitive answer. I apologize about that. I can give you some suggestions that you can try. And
okay.
One is if you've not fertilized the tomatoes in a little while, you might try to fertilize with like a compost tea blend, or, you know, if you're into organics, you can go with an organic. But go for something that promotes fruiting and ripening. So you can buy fertilizers that are specifically for fruiting plants, and I would go for one of those. Just make sure that you follow the instructions of that fertilizer and try not to over-fertilize, and definitely do not fertilize in the heat of the afternoon. Do it early in the morning or, you know, later in the evening. Give that plant some time to adjust to that fertilization. Sometimes plants, if they're fertilized when it's really, really hot, it'll burn them. And then that won't help you in that situation at all. I know sometimes that fruits, they kind of like, when it's really, really hot, just like any other plant, sometimes they will, they'll kind of hold back their resources. And so it might be that it's so hot and humid that the plant is just really struggling to just survive on its own with what's going on with the environment, our weather, and it's not putting a lot of resources into fruit ripening. So I would try fertilizing first. The other thing you could do is contact the Extension office, like University of Missouri Extension. They have a really great staff on hand that can answer questions specifically about vegetables and what's going on with your vegetables.
Great. Thank you for the suggestions.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for calling in, Pat. If you have a question about your yard, your bushes, your trees, flowers, Aaron Goss from Pointer Landscaping is here to answer those questions for the next hour and a half. 314-436-7900 is the number. That's the Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM KMOX. Thanks for tuning in to the Garden Hotline on KMOX. Aaron Goss is here. She used to be with the Shaw Nature Reserve. She has just moved into a new role working with Michelle Reeser-West, one of the other people on this program frequently. And she's here to answer your questions, 314-436-7900. So she's with Pointer Landscaping now. You just started. So what are some of the things you've had to do so far?
Well, fortunately, Michelle has me on the slow roll. So she's not throwing me to the wolves the first week. So I appreciate that. So mostly it's been visiting visiting client properties and kind of getting to know them, and also getting to know the crew. So part of my job is to liaison between to set the crews up in the morning to make sure that they have all the information that they need in order to go out and actually perform the work. So mostly it's been getting to know their computer system, visiting a few properties, getting to know the crew and the other employees at Pointer. And that's really been the bulk of it so far.
In general, what is kind of the process, as you understand it, for getting a landscape company to come out and, you know, is there a first step, second step, mm-hmm. third step, you know, in terms of making sure you give them enough time and that you have sort of an idea of what you want to do, or you just throw it out there and say, hey, what do you guys think we should do?
I think it probably is company dependent, or, you know, it's going to depend on the company. But most companies will set up a some sort of consultation, you know, with the client and have either an accounts manager or one of the owners or whoever is the point of contact will walk with the client and kind of assess their needs, listen to them, figure out what they're looking for, figure out their threshold, and also budget, because that's a big part of it is they may have a lot of need, but they may not have the budget to meet that need with the specific company. Mm-hmm. And so usually that after that consultation, then the point person will put together some sort of contract or an estimate, a bid of some sort, and then send that over to the client, and they can review it and decide whether or not they want to move forward. I know with Pointer, they have different levels of, I don't know, commitment or types of maintenance that they offer. Mm. So some companies will just come whenever the client wants. At Pointer, they offer a service that's kind of like a full spectrum service where you maybe are on the schedule every month or every couple of weeks, and they have there's more pre-planning that goes into that, but it really does depend on client needs and also how the company is structured.
Sure. Let's talk a little bit about fall vegetable gardens. We were talking about that off air. That's something you are very familiar with, and tell me about fall vegetable gardens, what you need to be thinking about right now, because believe it or not, it's almost 100 degrees, but fall is less than 2 months away.
yeah, it is. And so most people don't think in August that it's time to plant their fall vegetable garden, but August is a great time to start seeding those cold season vegetables. So if you're into Brussels sprouts or kale or lettuce or spinach, those can all be seeded in August, and then they're ready to go and be harvested by you know, November, December, sometimes into late October, whenever it's cool and those plants are really thriving in that cool weather. So if you're interested in a fall vegetable garden, make sure you've got your seeds ordered, and then start thinking about sowing those seeds. Again, like I said before, because it's August, because we're getting into August and it's really hot, make sure that you water those seeds really, really well. Most seeds need to be moist, need to be in moist soil until they germinate. And then those new germinations also need to be moist, need to have moist soil. So just keep on that watering. Watch for overwatering. Seedlings are very, very sensitive to overwatering.
So how do you determine that? Mm-hmm. How do you determine the line between overwatering and underwatering?
Something goes wrong is usually what happens. Yeah. But again, you can use the finger test. So if you're direct seeding, direct sowing into the soil, you can put your finger into the soil about halfway or all the way up to your knuckle to determine that soil moisture level. If you feel moisture, it's all good. Seedlings, you want them to put on roots, and so you want their roots to be stimulated. So you want them to dry out a little bit to encourage those little root tips to grow and search for water. So if they're constantly moist after a certain point, then that can be actually bad. But when they're first seeded, or when you first seed, or when you're first growing or first germinating, you do want consistent moisture.
Is there enough there to see, besides the moisture, if they're seedlings, is there enough there to see that they're doing well?
Yes, yes. So another thing you can look for is that if the seedlings are rigid, they're growing upright and strong, that's a really great sign. If they are flagging, if they're kind of drooping, or if you see any kind of fuzzy material on them, like if you see mold growing on top of the soil, that's a really bad sign. Mm. That is a sign of you're most likely you've overwatered and you have something called dampening off. And dampening off occurs a lot of times when the humidity levels are really high.
So is that fungus related?
Yes.
Okay. That's what Michelle uses the word fungus a lot. So,
and understandably so. I think this year is the season of the fungus, the year of the fungi. It has been really bad.
Yeah.
Really bad.
And that is related to the humidity?
Mm-hmm. Humidity. And then we've just had a lot of moisture in this spring. We normally don't have as much rain.
As much rain, yeah.
And then you combine the humidity of July and August, and you've got like the perfect recipe for powdery mildew and dampening off and different other rusts. You will probably see a lot of rusts this year. Rusts are those like cedar apple rust. Most people, are, if you're gardening, are fairly familiar with cedar apple rust.
Well, I was going to say, it was just last year, I'm pretty sure we were in a significant drought.
Mm-hmm.
So it does switch pretty quickly sometimes. And that, I guess, makes a huge difference in the development of things like fungi.
Oh, yes, very much so. Fungi have to have moisture in order to produce their spores. And a lot of times in order to actually release the spores, they need a little bit of moisture. There are some exceptions.
314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline to call and ask Aaron your question. We have one coming now from Luella. Good morning, Luella. Uh-oh. We might not have the perfect connection. Are you there? Maybe you can call us back, Luella, because we're not getting a good connection there. Again, the number is 314-436-7900. Do you have a fall vegetable garden, Aaron?
Kind of. So we do a lot of container gardening at my house because we have very heavy clay. So we are in the process of trying to condition our soil, get the organic content up, loosen it so that we can plant more vegetables in the ground. And so a lot of times we will sow into just larger containers. We'll sow something like lettuce and spinach. I've never done Brussels sprouts, though I would like to try. And not sure I'll do it this year, but
Brussels sprouts would be good.
Maybe next year, yes. I love Brussels sprouts. Yeah. And the nice thing about Brussels sprouts is those can hang on until really late into the winter time. You can even extend the season in a fall garden by putting up like a high tunnel or a low tunnel, depending on how where the veggies are planted. And so you can extend that season into December and sometimes even into January. As long as the soil isn't frozen.
Frozen, yes, that's the word. Can you talk a little bit more about that high tunnel versus low tunnel?
Sure. So high tunnels are those that typically are, well, I shouldn't, sometimes you can walk in them. They're just, there's a little bit more room, there's a little bit more air, there's a little more buffer, and the air can sit there and insulate the plants. A lot of people will use high tunnels for early spring and for plants that need to grow a little taller. Low tunnels, those are usually used more for your lettuce and your spinach. And low tunnels are super easy to use if you are row cropping. If you just have a small in-ground selection of those shorter plants, and the hoops, the height of the hoop, that's kind of what determines the height.
What's the material?
So a lot of times they're coated in the same material that is coated coats like a hoop house on a greenhouse. So it's we call it poly, and it's like a plastic material. Mm-hmm. And most people will put two layers of plastic on their high tunnels or low tunnels or their hoop houses. And then you can also put vents in them if you want, although in the wintertime, it's usually better not to put vents.
Sure. Well, we'll continue talking about this subject, fall vegetable gardens, as well as watering in this heat. And whatever questions you have for Aaron Goss from Pointer Landscaping, the number is 314-436-7900. We'll continue with your phone calls in just a moment on 104.1 FM, KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. Good morning. It is the Garden Hotline on KMOX, 104.1 FM. I'm Scott Jagow with Aaron Goss from Now Pointer Landscaping. She's here to answer your questions. She previously worked at the Shaw Nature Reserve. The number to call to ask your question is 314-436-7900. It is, I know, the 100th anniversary of the Shaw Nature Reserve. It's a cool story about how in 1925, the Botanical Garden moved plants out to the Shaw Nature Reserve because of all the pollution in St. Louis. That's how it got started. And there was all this farmland out there. It's not that far. People are always saying, oh, it's way out there. It's not that far on 44 at all. I've driven out there a few times. It's an easy drive. Anyway, I just wanted to ask you a little bit, since you just left that role, we're getting into the second half of the year, and there's still events and things going on around that centennial.
Yes. Excuse me. So they are offering a concert series, a wildflower concert series this year, this summer. And they've had one concert so far. That was in June. The July one, unfortunately, has been rescheduled due to the heat, but maybe that was a good thing. So the next ones that are coming up are August 22nd. These are all on Fridays in the evening. They are free, but they are asking everybody to pre-register so that there's enough parking for everybody. So August 22nd, it starts at 6 p.m. It's Beth Bambara. Many people probably know the name Beth Bambara, a wonderful musician. And then September 26th, which is the rescheduling of the July concert series, that'll be Nick Pence and Friends. I have to admit, I'm a little biased because I love Nick Pence. He's one of my favorite humans. But he'll be playing with some friends out at the on September 26th. And again, they are asking for you to pre-register in order to gauge parking. There's also a lot of classes that are going on. For example, on the 31st of July, they have the history of the Bascom House, which is an old farmhouse that's there. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's truly a farmhouse, but it's a very large, beautiful brick historic home. And so they're giving the history and a tour of the Bascom House. And there are other classes and tours that'll be going on through the rest of the year. Another thing that they've introduced this year, which is a really exciting for especially these really hot times, is that they have a new program where they're opening up the nature reserve to visitors before 8 a.m., which is when they normally open to the public. So it's a special program. You do have to pay, I want to say it's like $25 or $30. And I believe you need to be a member of the Botanical Garden in order to have that early access. But that means that, you know, if you feel like going hiking and you're like, oh my gosh, it's going to be 102 today, you can show up at 5 o'clock in the morning, go hiking, get your hike in before it gets really, really hot, or show up at 7 in the evening and go for a hike.
That's nice. That's actually a really good program to have.
Yeah, it is a really great program. They do have more information on their website. So if you go to shawnature.org or to the Botanical Garden website, there'll be more information about that early entry program.
Let's take another phone call. 314-436-7900 is the Garden Hotline. And Gary, good morning. You're on with Aaron.
Good morning. I have a pretty nice azotea yard, except where I'm getting some big yellow patches, I'm going to say pukey yellow-green patches. What can I do about that? What is it?
Yeah, usually when you have those patches, there's two things that could be going on. You either have some sort of a fungal infection in your turf, or you've got grubs. So grubs, what they do, though, they eat the roots of grass. And so sometimes you'll get a little bit of dieback where that grub is, or grubs, plural, are active in the soil. A lot of times,
I hit it pretty hard with GrubX in the spring.
So it might be fungal. Again, this is, we've had a lot of fungal activity this year. Do you have a turf company that you're working with?
Yeah, Gary.
Okay. So, okay.
No.
Gary's Turf Company.
No, I don't.
Okay. One thing you can also do is take a picture of it. And you also can, sometimes you can take a sample of that area of the turf and you can send it in to the Plant Diagnostics Clinic at the University of Missouri Extension Office. And they can give you a more detailed idea of what's going on. So sometimes it's really hard to ID the specific problem in turf without seeing it, touching it. But most likely this time of year, if you've already treated for grubs, it's probably fungal. There are some sprays, like some like copper type sprays that you can use in order to address the fungus. So if you can figure out that diagnosis, you'll know what to do.
I'll jump the ship. Is there a fungicide you would recommend?
You know, my knowledge of fungicides and the products that are out there is very limited. I know that Bonine has one that's available. I think that's the company. But if you go to one of the local garden centers, they should have some options available, both a more organic product and then one that's non-organic. And you can choose between the two. Just look for a fungicide that can be applied to zoysia.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling in, Gary, and asking your question. What's yours? 314-436-7900. That's the number to call to talk to Aaron Goss, who is now working at Pointer Landscaping alongside Michelle Reeser-West. Sometimes Michelle and I get into philosophical discussions about gardening, just kind of what motivates her or demotivates her in some cases. Just curious what it is that you are passionate about when it comes to gardening.
Mm. Well, I think that I love plants. I mean, that's by far the number one thing. However, I also find that gardening is extremely beneficial for my mental health. The getting out there and just doing something simple and repetitive as weeding. So getting my hands in the dirt. Sometimes I won't even wear gloves. I want my hands to be in that dirt and connecting with the soil. It's just it's a form of meditation for me, and it's a de-stressor. And I almost always feel better after I have a little weeding session. It's like a cheaper therapy session. The other thing is that I really like working with plants that allow me to be a lazy gardener. A lazy gardener. I don't like high maintenance gardens, personally.
Right.
I mean, they can be absolutely beautiful and I don't mind like on other people's properties, but on my property, you know, I want to be able to go a couple weeks without gardening. If I'm really busy, or I like working with plants that may be a little more aggressive because they cover the ground and they'll push out the weed material, and then I don't have to necessarily weed. Now that can present its own problems. Like right now, I have certain sections of my garden that are growing together, and they're aggressive, and so they're really growing, and so it's about time for me to go in and separate them out. But really, I would say mental health, and then just being able to relax and be a lazy gardener. We don't use a lot of chemicals. We like some of our weeds.
Yeah.
And then I love being able to eat whatever I grow, eat or use, whether that's in tea or dye for dyeing. Mortality, but
right.
Fabric dyeing,
yes,
or cut flowers, something that's functional.
Yeah, I think you mentioned before eating. It's really nice to have the opportunity to grow your own food.
Yes,
and it's rewarding to do it, and then to actually taste it, and it always tastes better.
Oh yes,
than what you can get at the store.
Except for the tomatoes that grow in my yard because they taste like crap. But, you know, one of the other things that I love about gardening is that it connects people. So, for example, we are so lucky that in my neighborhood, there are other people who are engaging in gardening activities. So we can't grow tomatoes in our yard, but my neighbor next to us grows tomatoes all summer long, and they have so much, and so they share. And so we can grow certain plants that do well in our yard. They grow their more traditional vegetables, and we all kind of share.
I love it. Community gardening.
Community gardening.
There's lots to talk about here, and the Garden Hotline is a community show to talk about gardening. So 314-436-7900 is the number for you to call and ask your question of Aaron Goss. We have another hour to go. Stay tuned.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Erin Goss is here to answer your questions this morning. She is now with Pointer Landscaping after how many years at Shaw Nature Reserve?
About 2.5.
2.5.
Mm-hmm.
And you join your good buddy, Michelle Reeser-West.
Yes.
Very familiar name on this program. But you just started like the last week?
Yes, I started on Monday.
At Pointer Landscaping. Well, congratulations on the new role. And
Thank you.
Glad to have you back on the program to answer questions at 314-436-7900. That's the number to call to get in line and have your question answered by Aaron. Let's go to Sherry. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have four questions, maybe five, but the one here is one. I had squash, and it was growing all male flowers, all male. So I said, well, okay, cut some of the male off and cut some of the leaves off, and that way maybe some females will produce. Now it looks like it's just drooping, no flowers produced, and I don't know what to do with that part.
Mm.
That's one problem.
Okay.
Then the other problem is, I have a Japanese maple. She's doing great, but she's spreading all over the sidewalk. She's in the shape of a V.
Mm.
So I don't know how to cut it, or should I prune it, or should I tie it down, or what. Then I have a houseplant, the jade. The jade has drooping leaves that are falling off. And one turned black, one of the stems turned black. I had it on my sun porch, which is very, very hot. And then I transitioned it back into the house by putting it in a warm room and then putting it back in the living room where it's cool. So I'm wondering if I'm going to be able to keep the jade. Then I have your favorite, indeterminate tomatoes. I heard you talk about tomatoes and your neighbor being better at it. Hopefully your neighbors gave you some pointers. Should I cut the top of my indeterminate tomato plant off to promote growth? Because now you know, with the heat, I have yellowing and browning leaves that are coming. And so I just want to keep it growing. And then last, I want to find out those rapid brown covers that you have, because I need to change my front within the next year or so. That's it.
All right.
That's it. Okay.
All right. Those are all great questions. So about your squash, that's a problem I've not actually encountered. One thing I do know about squash is sometimes this time of year they can be infested by squash bugs. And like okay. They're vine borers. There's another insect that goes after them. So sometimes when you see the squash, the leaves start to flag or they start to droop, and it like one end of that squash plant starts really shriveling up, that's usually a sign that you've got some sort of bore in the vine itself. So unfortunately, when that happens, there's not a whole lot you can do except for remove that section of the squash plant. The other thing you could try, and this is true for your tomatoes as well, is if you're seeing that the leaves are kind of yellowing and they're drooping and they're really slowing down a little bit, you can give them a little extra boost of fertilizer. And I personally would go with some like a compost tea, something more organic. But there are other products out there if you're not an organic user. But I would try to give them a little bit of nutrients and see if that doesn't help. As far as cutting the tops off, I've never cut the tops off of an indeterminate tomato. My understanding is they'll probably just go ahead and push out some lateral growth. So if you cut the top, the little side shoots will probably just push out some more. However, there may be some listeners out there who have cut back their indeterminate tomatoes, and they may have some ideas for you. Again, University of Missouri Extension, if you can get on their website, they have a lot of information about vegetable gardening, and they have kind of like a problem solve through their website. Japanese maple, if it's drooping and it's in your way, you can go in right now and just selectively prune back some of those branches that are in your way. Just don't shear it back right now. And try not to take too much, because it is really hot. And again, that can be really stressful for the Japanese maple. So what you're going to do is you're going to look for what's called a node. And that's where your branch meets where a side branch meets your main branch. And there's kind of like there's usually a right angle that forms. And you can start, take your pruners and go almost, you want to cut that branch off where the node, right above where the node is. Just leave maybe a quarter of an inch of that branch that you want to cut back. And so you can selectively go into that Japanese maple and just kind of push it back just a little bit in order to like get it off a sidewalk or maybe get it out of your way. As far as the jade is concerned, depending on how often you water it, it could be a sign that you're like babying it a little too much. So I have a tendency with my houseplants to baby them. So do that finger test, stick your finger in the soil and see if there's too much moisture, because jades are succulents. They don't need a ton of moisture. And then also they are heat tolerant. So they should be okay in a fairly warm room. They may not respond well.
It was really hot out there. I had a ceiling fan going. And I have aloes that are out there.
Okay.
And so I thought that they like hot temperature, but okay.
Yeah, they usually, the jades usually do like hot temperatures. I mean, they're succulents. But they sometimes, if they've got direct sunlight, sometimes they can burn a little bit. So they get a little sunburn on them. Sometimes with the jades, you also can check them for like spider mites. And you'll see those spider mites. They're really, really, really tiny, but you have a magnifying glass. Look on the bottom of the leaves with your magnifying glass and see if you can't see something that looks like tiny, tiny little spiders. And then your ground covers, there's a lot of ground covers that are fast moving. You can look at some natives like rose verbena. That one grows really, really fast. It's really pretty, looks a lot like a phlox. Sometimes creeping phlox can also be fast, although that one is a little more particular. there are lots of other rapid ground covers. Any garden center should be able to point you in the direction of
I need something invasive so that way it covers my neighbor's yard and mine.
Okay. In that case, I would say encourage your dandelions, but that's, but I know that's not going to probably make your neighbor happy.
Well, we have crabgrass now, mm-hmm. so it's just a mess.
Yeah, crabgrass can be a little problematic, but that one can spread pretty quickly. But yeah, if you're looking for something that's a little more rapid, I'm not a huge fan of vinca, but vinca ground cover is pretty fast grower.
Vinca. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, Sherry. Very good job there, Aaron, covering all those questions. I appreciate it. The number to call to ask your question, 314-436-7900. Steve is up next. Good morning, Steve.
I have two questions. I have about 36 boxwoods in my front and back yard landscaping. And they're starting to get a little lanky, and I was wondering, is this a decent time to trim them or not?
So the best time to trim back boxwoods or any evergreens is from tax day to Labor Day. So about, April 15th to about, September 15th, something like that. So you are in the window where you can trim back boxwoods. The only thing that I would caution you on is that because it's so hot, sometimes boxwoods can get like a burn. It's very similar to a winter burn on boxwoods. So they can be stressed out by summer pruning. So I would do right now a very light prune. So use your pruners or use a head shear, but do not use a gas powered trimmer at this point. That it's way too hot for a gas powered trimmer. So if you can wait until it cools down a little bit, like say in September, and then do your pruning, the boxwoods will be much happier. But if you just need to snip off a few kind of wild hairs or random growth patterns, then yeah, you can totally do that right now. But you are technically in the window where boxwood pruning is fine to do.
All right. Thank you for that. You brought up Brussels sprouts mm-hmm. a little earlier. And I tried them this year. I have 9 Brussels sprout plants, and I've removed some of the bottom leaves mm-hmm. because they're just getting eaten up by something. And should I remove all the leaves at this time? I know that they like cold weather, mm-hmm. which we don't have now, but do you think they'll survive? And actually, some of them have produced decent-sized Brussels sprouts, and some of them have not.
Okay, so I would probably leave those leaves, even though they may be a little unsightly. If they're still green, they're still photosynthesizing. So you want that continued photosynthesis to happen, even though that plant overall is going to be photosynthesizing. Most of the photosynthesis occurs in the leaves. So you want it to keep producing food in order to keep producing your little Brussels sprout heads. So if you can leave those leaves, as long as they're not all burnt up and brown.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your help.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for calling in, Steve. The number is 314-436-7900. We have a couple people waiting to ask their questions. If you have one, that's the number to call. It's the Garden Hotline. Aaron Goss is here from Pointer Landscaping, and we'll continue with those phone calls in just a moment on 104.1 FM, KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. We have Aaron Goss, who recently got a new job at Pointer Landscaping alongside Michelle Reeser-West, a regular on this program. She was at Shaw Nature Reserve, just started her first week at Pointer, and she's here to answer your questions at 314-436-7900, the Garden Hotline. And up next, we have Kelly. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have two problems in my front yard, and I don't know if they're related. But perhaps you can answer my questions separately or together. My first problem, I got 3 pin oaks in my front yard that are diseased. Mm-hmm. I've got galls falling down, and I've got leaves just falling. I'm raking every 2 or 3 days mm-hmm. as if it's the middle of November. So I know they need to come down. However, they're on the county's property. I don't want to pay for it. So I'm wondering if there's anything I could do or should do about that. The other problem is in my front yard underneath these beautiful pin oaks that are dying. I've got nothing but weeds. My lawn is completely, probably 85% weed. I don't know what kind of weed, but it's not a beautiful blade of grass growing. So I'm wondering what I can do to alleviate those problems. I want a beautiful lawn in the front yard, but is it a waste of time with those dying trees covering them, or is there something I can do now in this fall to maybe promote a healthy lawn in the spring?
Great questions, Kelly. Thank you so much for calling in, and I'm sorry that you have these three pin oaks, because although pin oaks can be beautiful, most of them are at the end of their lives. So, those galls are just terrible. So there's not a whole lot you can do with those pin oaks at this time. They, like you said, they're dying. They're on their way out. Do you have a relationship at all with your local government, in like your alderwoman or if you live in the county, one of the county councilors?
I'm an unincorporated St. Louis County. Okay. We do have a HOA, but they're useless.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that, too.
They're not helping.
Yeah, usually the HOA can then help you with these situations. So if you haven't already, I'd start making some calls to the I don't know if you can call the Parks Department. I'm not sure who would, or the Street Department, the County Street Department.
Yeah, I've called the county, but they've come out and they've like trimmed the lower branches, but there's nothing they can do. They say unless the tree is 80% dead, and I'm like, well, it is 80% dead. It's just that the other percentage has been cut off, has been cut back.
Yeah.
But what's there is still growing leaves, but I've got limbs of green leaves falling you know
down. So it is probably stress. Also, sometimes squirrels will get up in there and they'll gnaw on the end, and so that's how you get
they're disrespectful.
They are. Have you ever seen them go out after a tomato? Talk about waste. This unofficially, one thing, I don't know if I should say this on the radio, but you could try to kill the trees. hasten the situation. However, you know, that when you have a dead tree, and that presents a whole other can of worms. So I'm so sorry you're in this situation. If it was me, I probably would just keep on the county and just, you know, send them pictures, bombard them, kind of be in the pain in the pain in their neck. Just keep being a presence. And as far as your lawn is concerned, especially if it's really, really shady, it might be that you've just got a lot of shade going on. And so most sun loving lawn plant turf is not going to be happy there. So you could try using like either a broad spectrum herbicide and trying to kill all of the vegetation in that area, including all of those weeds. You could go for a broadleaf herbicide just to kill all those weeds. And then overseed with a shade turf mix. So George's Magic Mix, which is a locally available turf mix, they produce one for shade. So you could try overseeding and see if that helps at all. Otherwise, if you don't want to go the chemical route, you also could like cardboard and then mulch on top of that. And then try to wait a pretty considerable amount of time to let that kind of mulch break down a little bit. And then you could lay down sod, like actual blocks of sod. But I have a feeling until those oak trees are taken care of, it might be difficult to address your turf issues.
Yeah. Understood. So this is the first year that I've had the debris falling from the trees like it is. But what time span am I looking at for them to be done, or for them to completely be dead? We're talking years?
It totally depends. Without seeing it, it'd be hard to assess that, but it could take a few years. It could take a few years before the tree totally dies.
Yeah.
And again, you can quicken that process.
Yes.
But that does, you know, again, that does kind of present a whole other, some problems. But I would try that overseeding with that George's Magic Mix and see what happens, because that's a pretty cost-effective approach for your turf.
Okay, and that's available in your lawn and garden shops here, or do I have to order that online?
It is available at certain lawn and garden shops here in St. Louis. I know for sure that they sell it at OK Hatchery, which is in Kirkwood. Big box stores, they may not have it in stock, but some of the more specialized nursery stores will have them.
Okay, I'll give it a try.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Thanks for your time. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you for your call at 314-436-7900. Aaron Goss is here answering your questions. Sarah, you're up next. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about miniature globe arborvitae. I have never had these, but I put these in last year. And they are browning out in the center. Mm. So I went online, because at first I thought, oh, this is a fungus, because I've had fungus on boxwoods that I treat with Deconil, and that seems to be working fine. So I sprayed them really good, and then I thought, well, maybe it's a bug or something that I'm not seeing. So I treated it for bugs. And this started happening when we started getting some really intense heat. But at the beginning, we were getting a lot of rain. So it didn't occur to me that maybe they weren't being watered enough. But online it said they like a consistent, moist soil. So I have been watering them daily because of this extreme heat. And I'm not sure really what the problem is. Is this browning going to produce new growth, or are they just dying? I'm just not really sure what's going on.
So a couple thoughts. The first thing is that you may actually be overwatering, depending on how much water you're giving them. So you're absolutely right that arborvitaes tend to like a little bit more moisture, but sometimes that everyday watering can actually be too much water. So I would try backing off a little bit and try watering every other day and see if that helps. The other thing is if you haven't already, go take your hand, or if you have a blower, just very gently try to pull out or blow out the browning that's happening in the interior and open that space up a little bit. Do you know what I mean? So get that debris out from the interior, so that brown stuff, if it's still there. So I would try to get that out with your hands, or a lightly blow it with a blower.
So pulling with my hands to... I don't know what the little prickly things are on the stems, but stripping the stems, basically, of the brown stuff? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, if they're brown, they're dead. So then just get those out, and if it leaves a little bit of a branch, a small branch, that's okay. You're trying to get those needles out so that you have good circulation. So just get those, try to get those dead needles out. The other thing is that... application of a fungicide and application of an insecticide is really dependent on timing. So if you didn't see bugs on those arborvitae, then it's possible that the timing was off for whatever bug was, if you had a bug. Does that make sense? So if the bug's not actually active and out, then that insecticide doesn't really work. And that's kind of
even true. Though it's a systemic kind of a thing.
The timing is everything for insecticides. So again, the Plant Diagnostic Center or clinic can really help you to pinpoint what's going on. You can send them pictures. You can send them a sample. But that might be a really great opportunity to figure out exactly what's going on and what what to do. But I would first dial back on that watering a little bit, give them a day to dry out, because they don't want to be sitting in water. So it also...
Well, the way I'm watering them, and I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I have six of them, three on each side of my driveway, and I use a two-gallon bucket, mm-hmm. and I pour a little bit on each one, and I use two-gallon buckets on each of the three. So they're really not even getting quite 2 gallons. For each plant. And, you know, so it's not like I'm standing there with a hose and you know, for a long mm-hmm. time. It's just like I'm watering them with a watering can, except I'm using a bucket.
Okay. So do you have are you just dumping that bucket onto the shrub, or do you have holes in the bottom of the bucket so they slow release?
No, I'm dumping it. Okay. I'm dumping it.
You could try, if you don't mind destroying one of those buckets, put some holes at the bottom, fill the bucket up, and then that'll slowly release that water so that you know for sure that that plant is getting all of that water and it's not running off. Does that make sense?
I see. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe try that. Adjust your watering a little bit, and then take some samples and try to figure out what's going on with your art.
Okay, and who am I sending these pictures and samples to?
Look on the internet. There is the Plant Diagnostic Clinic. That's through the University of Missouri Extension Office.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling in, Sarah. The number for you to answer or ask your question, Aaron Goss will be the one answering it. 314-436-7900. It's the Garden Hotline. We'll continue with your phone calls in just a moment.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
It's the Garden Hotline, and Aaron Goss, new to Pointer Landscaping from Shaw Nature Reserve, is here to answer your questions at 314-436-7900. Terry, you're up next. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have two questions. The first question, I have a small woods, about maybe 50 by 40 feet, maybe 60 by 40 next to my house. And I cleaned it out. It had a lot of honeysuckle. And I cleaned it out, and now I have a lot of weeds growing. And what I would like to know is, what kind of ground cover can I put in that spot that will maybe choke out weeds, something that'll kind of be low and not get up into the trees. What would you recommend?
Yeah, so thank you for cleaning out your woods of honeysuckle. That is was probably quite an effort and super important. And you've brought up a really good topic, is that anytime you remove honeysuckle, you got to replace it with something, or the weeds grow. So a couple things that you can do is you can overseed with some of our native grasses, and they actually will fill in quite quickly. You can also buy mixes, like seed mixes, from some of our local, some local companies that'll have both forbs or flowering plants and those grasses. And those can actually take off pretty quickly. If you're wanting to use live plants and plug in or plant plants in that area, I would go for things that are going to reseed very quickly. You could look at river oats. You could look at some of our wild rye. You could look at wild strawberry. You could also look at Ohio horse mint is another one that will take off pretty quickly, and it's fairly low growing. These are all plants that are going to be probably knee high. So they're not really like what a lot of people think of as a ground cover, but they are going to cover the ground over time. If you're looking for something that's a little more low growing, then I would look at the wild strawberries, look at golden groundsel, which blooms in the spring, a yellow. And it's in the aster family, so the seeds are distributed on the wind, and so it spreads pretty quickly. If you're looking for not, those are all natives, so Missouri natives, that don't require a ton of maintenance, especially if it's a more naturalized area. If you're looking at, if you're looking at ground covers that are non-native, that gets a little trickier because some of the really fast-growing ones are kind of invasive, and so I really don't want to recommend them. But you could try, in the shade. That's just a little. I better not go down that road. I think if we can stick with those native recommendations, I think long-term health of your woods would be much, much better. There are some great websites online that you can go to look up plants. So I would try grownative.org. That's a really great one. Also, the Missouri Botanical Garden, they have a ground cover website that can help direct you in picking some of those ground covers too.
So, someone told me that clover would grow in the shade. Is that true or not?
Some clovers can. There are, just stay away from sweet clover, because sweet clover is invasive. But some of the other clovers, they can grow in the shade, but they may be less, they're not going to be as thick and lush. So they're just going to be leggier. So it doesn't, okay. It's not going to look quite the same. Another one you can look at too is called beak grain, beak like a bird, and then grain, all one word. That's a really cool grass that reseeds itself and is really beautiful in mass. It doesn't require a lot of maintenance, and it's just absolutely spectacular, and it can tolerate the shade.
How tall does it get?
It can get, normally in the shade, is going to be about knee high.
Okay, and what was the name again?
Beak grain, so B as in boy, E as in echo, A as in apple, K as in kite, and then grain, like okay. Grain you would eat, like rice.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
My other question was, I have three giant arborvitae, and they were damaged somewhat in the hailstorm in March, as all of my evergreen trees were. And they're getting new growth, but it's a lighter green. Is that normal?
Yeah, most new growth tends to be slightly different color than the more mature leaves or needles. Though watch your arborvitae, because we've had so much rain, we are seeing some chlorosis. So we're seeing some yellowing of needles. And so just watch that. And if you notice that as that new growth pushes out, if it remains yellow, And it's not supposed to be yellow because it's not a cultivar, because this is Green Giants. They shouldn't be like yellow. Then you might need to put some holly tone on it, or look at how often you're watering those Green Giants, because maybe they might be getting too much water.
Oh, okay.
So just keep an eye on them.
All of the evergreens I have, spruce and pine and cedar and hemlock. They're all damaged from the hailstorm in March. Should I fertilize those or just kind of let them go?
Yeah, you can definitely fertilize them. Just follow the instructions on whatever fertilizer you're using, and just don't overdo it.
Okay.
All right, thanks for calling in, Terry. We appreciate it. 314-436-7900 is the number. Emma, you're up next with Aaron. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Yes, Aaron, I'm calling because I've tried for 2 years to grow a bougainvillea. Mm-hmm. The first one, I just pinched a piece off an existing one, mm-hmm. because it grew up through the patio. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Let me see, you know, the part that grew up.
Yeah.
It's a vine. So I thought I could just, you know, maybe use that piece of vine and start one.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't work. So this year, I actually bought a full plant. It was beautiful. And it was trained, you know, on mm-hmm. a stake. So when I bought it home, it said to keep it moist, which I did. But anyway, we ended up losing that as well, a full grown. So I really like the plant, and I would love to grow one. But I need advice.
Sure. So a couple of ideas. If you can get a hold of another one of those like pieces, like if you pinch a piece off of maybe you have a friend who has one, this time try using a rooting hormone. So sometimes with with plants, you need some sort of root, like a rooting hormone that will stimulate root growth. So there's powdered versions out there. You can buy them at like Home Depot or some sort of nursery center, garden center. Try that. And then with the full plant, just make sure you're giving it, if it's sitting in, so you're saying you're keeping them nice and moist, that's good. Maybe try, are they in full sun?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Like partial during the day.
Okay. So it may be that it needed a little bit more sun. Since this is a tropical, they can be really sensitive to sun. You need to give them as much sun as possible. Otherwise, I'm not sure why it would have died. It sounds like you've done pretty much everything correctly, like everything.
Okay, and if I do find a new plant,
mm-hmm.
I'll probably try next year. But if I could find a new plant, just leave it in the existing pot, or do we try to put it in a?
You can
in the ground.
Either should be fine. You can use it. You can keep it in a container. You can also put it in the ground. Since it's a tropical, you're only going to be able to, it'll only grow so big before it just dies back because of the weather.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Emma. We appreciate it. We have one more segment to go, and the number is 314-436-7900 to get in your question. In that last segment, Aaron Goss from Pointer Landscaping is here to answer them. And on the other side of the break, I have a little surprise for someone listening who might be getting ready for a big day today. Back on the Garden Hotline, I'm Scott Jagow along with Aaron Goss. She is answering your questions this morning, and we have time for a couple more calls. But first, I have a little shout out to a longtime KMOX Garden Hotline listener. Happy wedding day, Brian Roche. Your bride, Emily, loves you and cannot wait to start your married life together. And let me channel Mike Miller for a second and say, just as a garden needs tending, may your love continue to grow and thrive with care and devotion. Congratulations, you two, and good luck. By the way, weird small world thing. Emily sent me an email about this, and I was, you know, happy to do it. And then I happened to tell my girlfriend about it. And she's like, oh, they came into the store today because she works at Stallone's Formal Wear and they're doing the tuxes. So weird. Small world things. Let's go to the phones. We've got a couple more minutes left. So, Darren, you're up next.
Hi. I have about a six-year-old established river birch. And I have some very low-hanging branches. And I was always wondering if it was okay to trim those at this time of year.
Yes. Just don't trim more than a third of the tree. So, okay. So you can trim them now. One thing with birches is they do have sap, so you have to be careful about the timing of the trimming. But the sap, usually you need to be careful about that more in the wintertime. So if you're just trimming a few low-hanging branches or skirting branches and you want to lift that canopy a little bit, go for it.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call, Darren. Say hello to Tom. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. Two quick questions. I have some peonies and hydrangea. Do they need to be deadheaded, and if so, how?
All right. So the peonies, they usually self-clean. They'll kind of like fall apart on their own, but it is kind of unsightly, that process. So you can go ahead and deadhead those peonies, or if they are totally done, I mean, they should be done blooming by now. But what you can do is, if as long as they're the herbaceous peony, not a tree peony, you can actually cut the vegetation all the way back to the ground. Peonies have a tendency to have powdery mildew, especially in the heat of the summer, so they don't always look nice. So go.
That applies to the bushy type, you're saying?
So that applies to the bushy type. If you've got a tree peony that has woodiness to it, don't cut them all the way back.
Okay.
That's stressful, and you could actually kill the peony. But if it's an herbaceous one, the shrubby, the bushy ones, the ones that you have a bunch of little growth points from the ground, you can cut those all the way back. The hydrangeas, those you definitely can deadhead if you don't like the look of the drying blooms. Those you can deadhead now, no problem.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call, Tom. Aaron, you've got this new job at Pointer Landscaping after working for a couple years at Shaw Nature Reserve. What are you most looking forward to in your new role?
Well, definitely working with Michelle again. She was my first mentor, so it's kind of cool to be going back, you know, 10 years later and work with her again now that I'm, quote unquote, a professional and not an intern. But also, I think working with clients. I really enjoy working with clients and helping them make their gardens, you know, what they want them to be, while also educating along the way. And hopefully we can kind of change some mindsets about some of the plant choices and some of the ways that we manage our land through this process too.
Well, since you mentioned being an intern, how do you get into this business, the landscaping or professional gardening, or however you want to put it?
There are quite a few different avenues. The avenue I followed is I attended St. Louis Community College at Merrimack, and through attending classes, meeting my professors, meeting other students, I started meeting people in the industry and being introduced to potential job opportunities. And that's actually how I learned about the internship that I ended up getting later on. Another way is that they're always looking. Landscape companies are always looking for workers. And if you don't mind some of the maybe the grunt work, you know, some of the more heavy labor stuff, you can get in very easily and start and learn the basics from pushing mulch, from digging holes. That may not sound like fun, but it's really important that we mulch correctly and that we dig our holes correctly and we plant correctly. So if you can learn those basics and get through the door, get your foot in the door with some of these companies, there's so much turnover that you can rise fairly quickly sometimes in the company. So you can you also can go all the way and get your bachelor's in horticulture and kind of enter into some of the upper echelon. I don't want to say upper echelon, but maybe management or a more technically skilled positions with that bachelor's. But most people in the industry either enter through just going and working for a landscape company or going to the community college and taking some classes and meeting people.
Well, you've obviously shown your passion for it and knowledge as well, sharing that knowledge today with listeners, and we appreciate it. Aaron Goss with Pointer Landscaping Now. Thanks so much, and hope to see you again soon.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
And that's going to do it for this edition of the Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM, KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. I'm Scott Jagow. Talk to you soon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.